for my thankfulness to all of you for so kindly coming and spending your precious time to be here with us this evening, and especially to Srimati Janava Devi and her family for making this wonderful arrangement in their home. It is really such a wonderful example that they are offering to society, to regularly invite several hundred people to your home for kirtan, harikatha, and prasadam. It is not a small effort, but it is a sign of great devotion and a willingness to make great sacrifice for the upliftment of humanity and the service of the Vaishnavas. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that these two principles are most essential. The desire to serve and please devotees and the willingness to make sacrifice, to show compassionate goodwill to the forgetful souls who have lost contact with their relationship with Krishna. The greatest charity is to give a person knowledge that we are the eternal servants of Krishna. And by chanting the holy names of Krishna, that lost love within our hearts can be revived. Giving a poor person food or hospitalization or clothing is nice. It is sattva guna. It is charity in the mode of goodness. But the body will die. And even the wealthiest people with so much food and so much hospitalization insurance and big, big, beautiful homes, they are suffering, perhaps more than the poor, due to mental anxiety, due to unfulfilled desires, due to fear and insecurity, due to broken family life, so many things, disease. Therefore, real happiness can only be found on the spiritual platform. To give people relief from the hunger of the heart by giving people Krishna's love, by giving a man an understanding of how to achieve liberation from the bondage of the misconception of this body, and by reconnecting his consciousness with Krishna, that is real charity. That is real compassion, and that is real love. And this is the love that the scriptures of every great religion teach us as the perfection of our life. Because the more we give this type of love to others, the more Krishna will give his love to us. Why? Because every living being is part of Krishna. Every living being is an eternal associate of Krishna. And just as when a parent loses a child, it is a sad experience. Krishna says in Gita that he is the seed-giving father of all living beings. And we can be an imperfect mother and an imperfect father for imperfect children. But the soul is perfect. And God is the perfect mother and father. So when the child rebels against the good wishes of the parents to try to enjoy separate from what is for the child's own benefit, the parent is aggrieved. And the parent makes so many arrangements to try to bring that child back. But ultimately, you cannot force. In this world, if your child wants to go against you, there's nothing you can do. All you can do is give the best example, the best instructions, You may chastise, you may punish, you may encourage, so many ways. But the child is going to do what the child wants. And if the child remains home and is good, and then grows up to be a good devotee of the Lord, the parents find great ecstasy in that, seeing the child reunited with Krishna. But if the child wants to go his own way, it is a grief for the parents. So similarly, when the spirit souls misuse their freedom and leave Krishna, leave his loving service, come to this material world to try to engage in so many materialistic activities and suffer so terribly, Krishna, because he grieves the situation out of his love, he descends to this world again and again. Every avatar, Krishna doesn't come simply for his own pleasure, because he's enjoying unlimited pleasure in the spiritual world. He has no need for this material world. But it is his pleasure to try to come and give compassion and mercy to those who have left him and who are suffering. Krishna's descent into this world is the act of his perfect compassion as the perfect mother and father of all living entities. And his associates often come down with him for this purpose only, to bring people back to Krishna consciousness. And that is the greatest mercy. And through so many great religions of the world, we see how historically, in different times and different places, the Lord descends and he comes with his associates. And what do? He performs his lila and his associates preach. By establishing his wonderful pastimes, he's preaching to the world. And his associates who join him and assist him in his pastimes, they are also assisting him in his preaching. That's why we find the pastimes of Kurma avatar, of Matsya avatar, of Varaha avatar, of Parasuram, Narasimha Dev, Vamana Dev, Ramchandra, Balaram, Krishna. All these great avatars, Vedavyas, who is the Shaktivesh avatar of Sri Krishna, has put all of these in scriptures for all of us to hear. And through hearing about their great mercy, their great compassion, we are being preached to. Kurma avatar, what was his mission? Simply mercy. Because the demons were completely exploiting the world, he appeared to hold the Mandara mountain for the purpose of the churning the ocean of milk. Then he appeared again as Mohini Murti, and the combined efforts annihilated the powers of the demons and again reestablished religion in the world. Matsyavatar appeared to give pleasure to his devotee Satyavrat Muni and rescue the Vedas from annihilation. Preaching compassion to the fallen souls. Of course, Varahadev killed Hiranyakashipu, saved the earth. It was a mission of compassion. Narasimhadev, he saved the devotee Prahlad. He saved all the Brahmins and the demigods from the wrath of Hiranyakashipu. Vamanadev brought everything back to the demigods, who are the followers of religion. Every avatar descends into this world only to show compassion to the lost children of God. And what is that compassion? To give them a chance to purify their lives by hearing and chanting his glories and go back home, back to Godhead. That is charity. That is welfare work of the first class order. Not trying to make a person more comfortable in this material world. That is not real welfare work. Real welfare work is giving people the realization of that they are not of this world. That they are of spiritual substance. That they are beyond birth and beyond death. And those devotees who in any way assist the Lord's mission in this way become the most dear to the Lord. And Krishna has explained this in Bhagavad Gita, that those who preach this message to my devotees, those who are preachers, they are the most dear to me. And no one will ever be more dear to me than them. And that is why Srila Prabhupada very much wanted this movement to be what Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dreamed it would be. Not a movement of just Babaji's sitting in one place trying to cleanse their own lives by chanting the name of God all day. That is good. But better than that is people who are fixed in the chanting of the holy name and willing to make great risks to help others to chant the holy names. And in Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, who is that person who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted as his most intimate associate? It was Lord Nityananda Prabhu. What is that verse? Prajendra Nandana Jai Sachi Suta Hoilo Se Bhalaram Hoilo Nithai. Sri Nandanandana Krishna descended in the form of the son of Sachi, Lord Chaitanya. And Balaram, his eternal brother, the original spiritual master of all living beings, who shares the most intimate Leela with the Lord in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, descended as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Paramakaruna Pahundui Janani Thai Gaura Chandra. These two brothers, Nithai Gaura Chandra, are supremely merciful. They express the ultimate compassion of the Supreme Divinity. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami explained, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Tvese Namaha. That of all the incarnations who have descended simply to show causeless mercy to the fallen souls, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful, because he has to come at the time of the greatest need, the age of Kali Yuga, and he has come to give love of God freely to anyone who will accept it through the congregational chanting of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya came to give to the most unqualified. But through Lord Nityananda, he even superseded his own supremely magnanimous nature. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he was liberating everyone who came before him. But the people who were the most terrible sinners, the most terrible drunkards, the most terrible murderers, the most fallen souls, who would not even come anywhere near Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya instructed Nityananda Prabhu, you chase after them, you search them out, you find them, and you deliver them. You give them Krishna's name. Lord Chaitanya, one time in Jagannath Puri, sat in a secluded place with Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and he discussed this principle with him, that we have descended to deliver the most compassionate and merciful. If you are content sitting here in Jagannath Puri with me, in the ecstasy of chanting the holy names, what will happen to the most fallen people of this age? You should go to them. Whatever it means, you go to them. He told them, you go to Bengal, and those persons you must give Krishna consciousness to, who are the most fallen, who are the most sinful, and who are suffering. You deliver them. And it was a great sacrifice, because Lord Nityananda Prabhu was the closest associate with Lord Chaitanya. But he was willing to separate himself from his own beloved brother Balaram to help us. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Nityananda Prabhu a team of wonderful associates. Most of them were all cowherd boys from the spiritual world that descended along with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He said, you take them and you preach. You preach to everyone without discrimination. Give them Krishna's name. You give them this simple instruction. Chant Krishna's name. Worship Krishna. And whoever you meet, preach the glories of Krishna. That's all. That Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, Krishna is your friend, Krishna is your very life breath. He is your soul. Worship him and be blissful. Give up the clutches of this illusory energy. So upon hearing this instruction, Nityananda Prabhu left Jagannath Puri, Orissa, with several of his most dedicated associates, headed by Abhiram Thakur and Gadadhar Das, and many others, Govinda Ghosh, Madhava Ghosh, Vasudev Ghosh, Krishna Das, Purandar Pandit, many. So they all went together, and they understood that it is only Hari Kirtan that can rescue the souls in this age of Kali Yuga. So they began to perform Hari Kirtan in the roads of Orissa, trying to go toward Bengal. And they began this Hari Kirtan. And Nityananda Prabhu, wherever he would glance, because when he would get in these moods of supreme compassion, wherever he would glance, people would just become completely intoxicated with love of God and just ecstatically chant and dance. So as he was glancing upon them and as he was chanting, leading the way, they were all just in the spiritual world. They forgot completely that they were these bodies. In fact, if you forget you're this body, obviously you're going to forget which direction you're going in. So they would start to travel, and they would go dancing, intoxicated, chanting the holy names. And they went the opposite direction of Bengal. And after a half hour, they had already gone so many kilometers. And then they happened to come a little to their senses, and they asked someone, which is the way to the Ganga in Bengal? And people would say, hi, you are going the wrong direction. It's that way. It's the road to Bengal is 25 miles that way. They had already gone 25 miles off. So then they'd start going that way, and they'd all raise their arms and just have beautiful At one point, Abhiram Thakur, whose name was also Ramdas, he just became intoxicated in this kirtan in the mood of a cowherd boy. Because actually in Krishna's Leela, according to Gauro Ganodesh Deepika, he is Sridhama, the intimate cowherd boyfriend of Krishna Balaram, as well as the brother of Sri Radharani. So he just fell into this mood of a cowherd boy. And he just went in the center of the road, and he just took a threefold bending form and stood like a flute-playing cowherd boy. And he was in that condition, standing there in ecstasy for 9 hours while all the devotees just continued the kirtans of the holy name. He started going again. And intoxicated in kirtan, they asked somebody, where is the Ganga? Where is Bengal? Hi, you were completely the wrong way, the wrong direction. It's 50 miles that way to the road. Some special effects? Very well. House is becoming very advanced. Special background move to use. Anyways, in this way, they were just traveling, and anyone who would see them would just become intoxicated with love of God and begin to chant the holy name. They were completely oblivious to the material world as they were chanting kirtan. Somehow or other, by the divine arrangement of the Lord's internal potency, they arrived in Bengal. And they came to Panihati. And they went to the house of Raghava Pandit. And there Nityananda Prabhu induced the devotees to begin another kirtan. And the three brothers, Basu Ghosh, Govinda Ghosh, Madhava Ghosh, started singing, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu began dancing, and all the devotees were just dancing and dancing. And then Lord Nityananda Prabhu sat on the throne of the Lord, and he said to Raghava Pandit, he said, "I desire a garland of Kadamba flowers." And Raghava Pandit, he said, "I like Kadamba flowers, because I'm a cowherd boy and I like to be in Kadamba forest." So Raghava Pandit said, "But this is not the season where Kadamba flowers could possibly grow, my lord." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Go to your garden and see if there's any Kadamba flowers growing." So Raghava Pandit went to the garden, and there he saw on a lime tree beautiful, beautiful Kadamba flowers. Each one was beautiful color, beautiful fragrance, perfect, so many of them. So Raghava Pandit made a nice garland of these Kadamba flowers and offered them to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And then all of a sudden, a very, very special flower that only grows in certain secret places of Orissa, which has a beautiful fragrance, the whole room became filled with this fragrance. All the directions, and the devotees couldn't understand, "Why is this?" And Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, "Do you know why?" He said, "Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's decorated every one of his limbs with the fragrance of this flower, he is so attracted by all of your dancing that he has come here in the form of a tree just to see your dancing. And he is here and he is watching us. So let us have wonderful kirtan." So then the devotees, in this intoxicating spirit of knowing how much this dancing and chanting process pleased Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they began to sing the holy names of the Lord and dance in transcendental ecstasy.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And what kind of ecstasies they were going in. Some devotees, they were... One devotee climbed up a tree. He was dancing on the tree. And he went to the furthest, most tiny little twigs that are at the end of the branches of the tree, and he was dancing on them, and they did not break. And other devotees, they were just jumping on the ground and rolling on the ground and crying. And some of the devotees, when Lord Nityananda would glance on them, they'd become so empowered with love of God that they just started embracing each other. And some of them started embracing trees. But when they'd embrace it, they'd just uproot it right out of the ground and throw it. One devotee went to a group of betel nut trees, and he embraced 5 to 7 trees. And as he embraced them, they all just uprooted out of the ground. And he was dancing with all of these trees, throwing them from place to place. And all the devotees, upon seeing these incredible miracles of the power of Lord Nityananda's glance, they all were just so happy chanting Krishna's holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Then Lord Nityananda, he said, I would like to be decorated with jewelry. So then right there, the most precious jewelry just appeared. And devotees started putting necklaces and earrings and ankle bells and bracelets on Lord Nityananda and many nice flowers. Because all the opulences and beauty of the world are meant for the satisfaction of the Lord. He appears in his deity form so that we can take the beautiful things of the world and instead of decorating our own dying corpses and creating an infatuation of ego, we put them on the body of God and we become purified of our ego. And we find great joy. Srila Prabhupada told us, when you decorate the deity, you will lose all desire to decorate your own body. When you feed wonderful foods to the deities, you give up the lust for wonderful foods yourself gradually. When you glorify the name of God, you lose the desire to speak glorifications of yourself. Because actually everything is meant for the pleasure of the Lord. But we have forgotten that principle. So we're trying to find pleasure by giving all of these things to our own selves. When you water the root of the tree, the whole tree is satisfied. Krishna is the root of the tree of all existence. And we are all like the little branches and twigs and flowers. By pouring water on us, we will never be satisfied. But the whole human civilization practically in this age of Kali Yuga is every flower and twig is trying to get water for itself, completely depriving the root. And in the process, every part of the tree is suffering, is drying up, is miserable. Every part of the tree is fighting amongst themselves to try to get some water. But when the whole tree agrees, let's just put the water on the root, then everyone will flourish. This is Krishna consciousness. Satisfy Krishna, you'll be happy. So the devotees, they found the ultimate satisfaction just giving these wonderful jewels to decorate the body of Nityananda Prabhu, who is Krishna himself, Balaram himself. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu was simply finding the greatest satisfaction, just reciprocating love with his devotees in this way. This kirtan at the house of Raghava Pandit was so ecstatic that it went on for 3 months continuously. 24 hours a day. For 3 months, nobody slept for 1 second, and no one drank a drop of water or ate a morsel of food. And no one got tired. No one stopped to rest. They were dancing ecstatically and loudly chanting the holy names for 3 months continuously. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing the world what is the power of his associates and what is the power of the holy name of Krishna.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu, after this 3 months, decorated with nice ornaments, he and his devotees started going onto the streets from house to house. And the whole while they were just dancing and chanting on the roads. And anyone Lord Nityananda Prabhu would glance on would just raise their arms and start chanting the holy
name. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare!
So many people were becoming intoxicated in Krishna prema. And then Lord Chaitanya saw some little children, just little children. And he glanced on them, and they started chanting. They were just chanting and chanting and dancing, tears coming from their eyes, their limbs trembling, their hair standing on end. They would roll in the ground. They were just completely intoxicated by the holy name of the Lord. Little children. And they became so empowered, they just became uncontrollably ecstatic. These little tiny children, just loudly crying out the names of Krishna, they started uprooting trees and throwing them from place to place. And the people were just struck with wonder. What is the power of this Lord Nityananda? And for 1 month, these children were just dancing and chanting, and they did not eat or sleep for that whole month. They were just uprooting trees and picking up rocks and throwing and chanting and dancing, and in this way everyone was intoxicated to see. And anyone who saw these children in kirtan, they all began to chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In this way, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, with his associates, they traveled from village to village, to town throughout Bengal, just transforming everyone into devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spreading the Yuga Dharma of Harinam Sankirtan. They went to the house of Gadadhar Das. Gadadhar Das was a very great devotee, and he welcomed Lord Nityananda. He was already there, but they went to his house, and they were all chanting and chanting and chanting nonstop, nothing but kirtan. That was their whole preaching strategy. That was their life. That was their soul. They were simply having kirtan, inundating the world with the holy name. And the village that Gadadhar Das was living was run by a Kaji. Kaji, in those days, Bengal was ruled by Mughal kings, and the Kajis were the governors. And if the Kaji was cruel, the whole town was in fear. And this was the most cruel, violent, murderous Kaji in the whole area. He hated Hindus, and he absolutely hated the Sankirtan movement. If he would hear of anyone chanting, he would kill them, he would murder them ruthlessly, without questions. And the devotees of the Lord and any Hindus, they were scared to death of this Kaji. If they would see him from a distance, they would run for their lives. If anyone would even see him, they would just jump in the Ganges immediately to try to purify themselves. So Gadadhar Das, one night, he was so much absorbed in kirtan that he just became completely fearless. He was always fearless, but he manifested it in a special way. And he just went right to the Kazi's house. And all the Kazi's big, big, powerful, murderous soldiers were there, and guards. And he said, "Where is the Kaji? I want to see him. If he does not chant Krishna's name today, I will cut off his head." And the soldiers were shocked. They were stunned. They couldn't believe this little Vaishnava is talking like this. But he spoke so loud that the Kaji heard him. And he became infuriated. With his weapons, he ran down to see who could possibly speak like this to me. And he came down in a ferocious, murderous mood. And when he saw Gadadhar Das, who's such a pure soul, he actually became peaceful. And Gadadhar Das looked at him and said, "I have come to give you the good news that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have descended to this world. They are the supreme god of all gods. And they have come with the message that everyone should chant the holy names of Krishna. And they are intoxicating the whole countryside with the chanting of the names of Krishna. The only person who has not chanted is you. So on this very night, I request you, I order you, you take the name of Krishna with your mouth." And the Kazi couldn't believe what he was hearing. He actually smiled. He said, "Gadadhar Das, I will chant the name of Hari tomorrow. Now you go home." And when Gadadhar Das heard that he said, "I will chant the name of Hari tomorrow," he became ecstatic. He just became overwhelmed with joy. He said, "Why you say tomorrow? You already said the name of Hari. Now you are purified of all sins forever. Now you have attained the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have chanted the name of Hari. And then after saying this, Gadadhar Das started clapping his hands and started weeping and crying and dancing in ecstasy while chanting the holy name. In this way he transformed the Kazi into a devotee. This was the caliber of these devotees of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. They were fearless. There was one devotee, Murari Chaitanya, who was also in this traveling Sankirtan party of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And during the kirtans, he would just go into such ecstasy, he would go into the jungles. And he would see tigers, and he would chase after them and grab them. He would jump on their backs and ride on them. He would treat them like dogs and cats. Sometimes he would see a tiger laying down, and he would just slap him in the face. And by getting slapped, these tigers were getting love of God. Sometimes he would grab serpents and sit and put them on his lap. And in this way he was giving serpents love of God. He was completely a fearless soul. Murari Chaitanya. Today we are celebrating the appearance day of Abhiram Thakur. What kind of a person was he? He was such a powerful preacher. Lord Nityananda Prabhu induced him to have so much spiritual shakti that his whole life was just inducing people to take the name of the Lord. It was said that he was so kind and merciful to the fallen souls. He was the very embodiment of ultimate compassion. But those who were not devotees, who were antagonistic, they were so afraid of him, they would just run for their lives, and he would chase after them and make them devotees. In fact, Abhiram Thakur, if he were to offer obeisances to any stone that was not a Shalagram Shila, that stone would crack into pieces. If he would offer obeisances to a deity, which was not properly installed and Krishna was not properly accepting worship, that deity would just break to pieces. Abhiram Thakur, he had a whip, a bull whip. You know what bull whip means? Something you beat bulls with when you're working them in the fields. He had a bull whip and it was called Jai Mangala. And it is said, anybody he whipped with that bullwhip would immediately attain Krishna Prema. And one of the greatest devotees, Srinivas Acharya, it's a long story about his life, but he left his home looking for Lord Chaitanya, looking for Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar Pandit, but they all left the planet. But ultimately he was sent to one of the greatest, most exalted of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Abhiram Thakur's house. Abhiram Thakur was a grihastha. His wife was also a pure devotee who was fully supporting his preaching efforts. And when Srinivas Acharya came to Abhiram Thakur's house, Abhiram started beating him with the bullwhip. And upon, he was just experiencing such Krishna prema, such ecstatic love every time the whip was hitting him. But meanwhile, the wife of Abhiram couldn't understand why he's just this. Srinivas was just a very young, like a boy. She's saying, "Why are you beating him so many times? He's just a boy." But it said that when Srinivas was touched by the whip of Abhiram Thakur, that's when he perfectly experienced the ultimate ecstasy of love of Krishna. This was his power. One day Abhiram Thakur, he decided he wanted to play a flute. So he started looking for a flute, but there was no flutes. So he went into the forest looking for something he could make a flute. So he saw this huge log that 16 men could not lift. And because of Nityananda Prabhu's great mercy upon him, he effortlessly lifted this massive log and started playing beautiful songs like a flute. Hari Ram Gopal Ki. So these are the types of preachers that Lord Chaitanya had in his preaching mission. And these devotees, Lord Nityananda Prabhu's associates, they organized their preaching so incredibly systematically, so that all of these associates, first they were all with Lord Nityananda, just having traveling Sankirtan parties, and then they divided up and went into their own areas, and then they would make disciples, and they would make disciples, and they would make disciples, and in this way, millions and millions and millions and millions of people were being drowned and inundated in the congregational chanting of the Holy Name. They traveled to many places together, Nityananda Prabhu and his associates. They went to Shantipur, Satyagram. Then they came to Navadweep. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu met with Sachi Devi, the mother of Lord Chaitanya. Ever since Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Sachi Devi was always in the ecstasies of love of separation. And when she saw Lord Nityananda Prabhu, she told him, "I have been praying. I have been praying so much that you would come, because you are none different than my own son, Lord Vishwambhar. And you have brought me the greatest happiness. Please stay here in Navadweep for some time." So in order to satisfy Sachi Devi's desires, Lord Nityananda Prabhu stayed in Navadweep. Previously, Lord Chaitanya delivered most of Navadweep, but there were some people who were very, very sinful, who were very, very atheistic, who were very, very proud, puffed up people, and they somehow or other escaped Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Lord Nityananda hunted for them, and he found them all. And by his merciful glance and by his merciful persuasion, he would literally beg people. He would fall at their feet and beg them, "Take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and chant the holy name."
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And because he had such love for their soul, he had such compassion, he was so gentle, he was so pure, people could not refuse him. While they were in Navadweep, he was having kirtans throughout the day and throughout the night. And there was one Brahmin. This Brahmin, due to bad association, he became a dacoit. He became a murderer of Brahmins, a killer of cows. He became a thief and a robber. In fact, this Brahmin became the leader of all the dacoits. Srila Prabhupada explains, this is what bad association can do to someone. Jagai and Madhai were also Brahmins. Jagananda and Madhavananda. But because of bad association, they became dacoits. So even if a person, even Krishna's own son, Bana, due to his, Bhoma, because of his association with Banasura, he became a demon. So we should be very careful to watch very scrutinizingly who our children are associating with, because their association could spoil their consciousness. Because association is such a powerful effect on a person's life, as we were speaking last night. So this Brahman was associating with evil people, and he became the most evil. Because somebody who has power, when they misuse it, they're the worst. Just like in the scriptures, we find out, we read about rakshasas. Everyone knows what a rakshasa is? Rakshasa means a terrible, bloodthirsty demon. But who are the most dangerous of all rakshasas? The Brahma rakshasas. They're the most dangerous because they're from Brahmin families. They're people with Brahminical powers who turn to evil ways. We're all Brahmins because they have the most power. When a powerful person becomes a demon, they become the worst demons. Ravana was a Brahmin. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu were Brahmins. And they were learned Brahmins, and they knew the Shastra. All of them. They knew Yajna, they knew all of these processes, but they misused it. So this Brahmin became the king of dacoits. And he happened to see Lord Nityananda wearing all these nice jewelries. Nice pearls and corals and emeralds and everything. Gold and silver. Because the devotees used to decorate with him because he was their deity. And he would accept it for the pleasure of his devotees. So he was thinking, he actually pretended to be one of the people who was a devotee. He actually joined Nityananda Prabhu's Sankirtan party in Navadvip, and he spent practically the whole day with him every day while everyone was chanting. But Nityananda Prabhu knew within his heart, this person is wicked. So one day, he was just waiting for the right time. This Brahmin. So Nityananda Prabhu went to Hiranya Pandit. He was a simple devotee, pure devotee. And he had no possessions. He was a family man, he had little house, but he was very simple. So Nityananda Prabhu began to stay there. So the Brahmin was thinking this is the right time. So he called the other dacoits. And he said, tonight, get your best sharpened weapons. We will attack, we'll kill if we have to, and we will steal all of his jewels. They were very enthusiastic. Very enthusiastic. One was saying, that pearl necklace, I'm going to take that. And the other one says, I get the gold bracelets. And another person said, I get those nice anklets on his ankles. And they were all deciding who was going to get what. So that there would be no controversy after... Honor amongst thieves, Srila Prabhupada used to say. He said, the whole world is honor amongst thieves. People make so many honest arrangements of how to exploit the property of God for themselves. Even nations, the United Nations, will divide up this geographical line. This is Pakistan, this is India, this is the boundary. This is China, this is Nepal, this is Burma, this is... Europe, this is Russia, you know, all these boundaries. This is my land. But actually it's all God's land. It's all thievery. It's not United Nations. United Nations means we all agree that the world belongs to Krishna. So let's all do what Krishna wants and chant his holy names. That is the only possibility of United Nations. Everything else is just so-called honor amongst thieves. So they decided. He sent a spy into the house. Nityananda Prabhu was eating prasad. Let's wait till he finishes prasad and goes to sleep. Then they started having kirtan. All the devotees were in Hiranya Pandit's house with Lord Nityananda. He was dancing ecstatically, glancing on everybody. As soon as his glance touched anyone, they would just completely lose external consciousness and begin dancing in love of God. So they were thinking, let's just stay here until the kirtan is over, and as soon as it's over, we will attack. They had all their weapons. But by Lord Nityananda's mercy, they all fell asleep. And then in the morning, the crows started making sounds, and they woke up, and the sun was out, and it was day. And dacoits don't like day. So they all started, what happened? They all woke up. It's your fault. You fell asleep. Because you fell asleep, we fell asleep. No, you're the one who was falling asleep. They all started fighting amongst each other whose fault it was that they all fell asleep. But the Brahmin leader, he said, it is none of your fault. He said, it is the grace of Goddess Durga. Because we failed to worship her before we went to attack. So it was not auspicious. So tomorrow, we will have good puja. So the next night, they had nice puja to Goddess Durga. They offered her flesh from animals, and they offered her blood from animals, and they offered her wine and different types of intoxications. And this way they were thinking, now she is satisfied, now by her grace we will be successful and wealthy. And they all took their weapons. They had very sharp weapons. They were sharpening them through the day. They had swords and daggers and knives and tridents and clubs and axes. Each of them had at least 5 different weapons. There was a whole group of them. So that night they came again. Nityananda was sleeping. They surrounded the house on all sides. But when they got there, there were these huge guards. Each one was built like a mountain. Each one of them had such a physique of muscles and strength and huge, and that they could, any one of these guards could have destroyed 100 dacoits within a second. And they had weapons. And in deep voices, they were all chanting the names of Hari, Hari, Krishna, Krishna. So they were thinking, this is not possible. So they had another little meeting amongst themselves. And the leader said, some important king or something must be visiting Nityananda, and these are his guards. Let's just wait 10 days. And when these guards go away, then we will attack. Just go home, and let's meet again 10 days. So after 10 days, they all had their sharpened weapons. And the guards weren't there. And it was quiet. And Nityananda Prabhu was sleeping. So they all started moving in. On all 4 sides of the house, they surrounded. They came closer and closer and closer. And all of a sudden, clouds formed in the sky, and it became very, very dark. And then, all of a sudden, when they came right up to the house, with their hearts full of lust and greed, bloodthirsty demons ready to kill for some jewels, when they came right up to the house, their eyes went blind. And they all just started falling down. One of them fell into a ditch. And he fell into this ditch. And when he fell into the ditch, he couldn't get out. And all these mosquitoes and leeches started covering his body and eating every part of him. And he was just screaming in pain. And another fell into the pit where the garbage was kept. And he fell down there, and all these scorpions started covering his body and stinging him all around. And another one fell into a ditch filled with thorns. And every inch of his body, practically, there were these razor-like thorns stabbed into him, and any time he even moved, it was just piercing him and piercing him, and he was just screaming in pain. And another one, all of a sudden, he just got an intensely high fever, and he just fell to the ground screaming in pain. And then all of a sudden, all of them, There were scorpions, mosquitoes, leeches just crawling all over their bodies, eating them. And then it started to rain. Indra. We were talking about Indra this morning, about what a nice devotee he is. When he saw that these dacoits wanted to try to cause harm to Nityananda Prabhu, he personally, with all his powers, decided to punish them. And he sent torrents of rain. It was raining so hard and high winds, and it became freezing cold. And as it became freezing cold, all the torrents of rain turned into ice balls of hail. And they were coming down at such high speeds. These huge blocks of ice were just crushing against their skulls and their bodies and their limbs. They were being pulverized. And meanwhile, thorns and insects, and they were just all screaming in pain, blinded by agony. And the Brahmin, leader of the dacoits, he was suffering so terribly. He had never suffered. Nobody could suffer like they suffered. He realized that Yamaraj is just massacring them with inflictions of suffering. And then he came to the realization that Nityananda Prabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is all the reaction of trying to offend him. And then he began to pray to Lord Nityananda Prabhu that I surrender to you. I promise you on this day I will give up all my sinful activities. You are the Supreme Godhead. You are all merciful. You are all compassionate. I am your eternal servant. Now you can do whatever you like with me. Whether you kill me or whether you let me live, I vow to you I will be your eternal servant from this day. And when he made this resolution, all of the rain stopped. And all of the insects went away. And they began to see again. And they got up. And they all looked at each other. And they were all devotees. They all came to the same conclusion. And they all went to bathe in the Ganges. And the next morning, Nityananda Prabhu and his devotees were having nice kirtan. And this leader of this most murderous dacoit came into the kirtan. And he started with his arms raised. He started loudly chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
And he was so much in love of God that he started rolling on the ground, and his hairs were standing on end, and tears were flowing from his eyes. And he fell at the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu. And Lord Nityananda said to him, "You are a dacoit. What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm not a dacoit anymore." He said, "I wanted to kill you. I wanted to murder you. I had weapons. I wanted to steal all your jewels because of my selfishness. You are the supreme proprietor of everything, and I wanted to take it for myself." In one sense, we are all like that person. If we analyze the situation, everything is meant to be decorating Krishna. Anytime we want to utilize anything for ourselves, we are trying to just take off the Lord's decorations to put it for ourselves, steal the Lord's wealth to take it for ourselves. To one degree or other, every materialistic person, every person who still desires to enjoy material life is like those dacoits. But he was to a very great extreme. So he told Lord Nityananda what happened. "We wanted to kill you and rob you. And what happened? By your greatness, by your kindness, the first night we fell asleep. The second night the guards were around you. And the next time we fell into ditches with thorns and insects and hail and rain and freezing cold and we suffered so terrible." He said, "This suffering was your mercy. By your great kindness upon us, you inflicted so much terrible suffering that we came to our senses and decided to surrender to you." We should know that all the sufferings of this world were designed by God only for this purpose, to show mercy to us. to give us an understanding that we can't be happy in an unnatural situation. Therefore, the miseries of this world are not bad. They're actually good. They are the Lord's way of trying to sober us, awaken us, give us an understanding of what is our real life and what is our real goal. That this world is not a place of happiness. If we were content in this world, we would never want to return to the place of ecstatic love and ecstatic bliss. Just like in the prison houses, they may make it livable, but they never make prison houses nice places. Because if they were nice places, people would never want to give up their misbehavior and be good citizens again. So this Brahmin was praising Lord Nityananda. Because you made us suffer so bad, so much, we realize that our only shelter is you. And now at this time, I am surrendered to you. But because I had such evil intentions to do such bad things to you, I cannot live in this life anymore. I've come here to beg forgiveness, to chant your holy names, but now I must go to the Ganges to drown myself and take my life, because I am a sinful person. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, no, you do not take your life. He said, you simply give up your sins. You never engage in this robbing or thievery or sinful activities ever again. And you always chant the holy names of the Lord. You simply do these two things. And another thing, that you go and you find all the robbers and all the thieves, and you convince them to give up their sinful activities, to take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to loudly chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
And then Lord Nityananda Prabhu placed his lotus foot on the head of the Brahmin. And at that point, he told the Brahmin, I have taken all your sins. I have taken myself all your karma. Now you are free. Now you go out, chant Harinam and preach. And all the devotees, upon seeing the mercy that this Brahmin got, this dacoit, all the devotees started offering their obeisances to this dacoit. They honored him and respected him as a great Vaishnava, because they had seen that he had received the mercy of the Lord. And after surrendering to the Lord in great ecstatic love, all the devotees were cheering and joyfully that this devotee had received the perfection of life. And then that Brahmin went out, and he went, and all the other dacoits, they all saw he was their leader. When they would come to him, he would preach. He would preach that they should give up all their materialistic ways, give up all their sinful activities. They should take shelter of the lotus feet of Nithai Gaura Chandra, and they should chant the holy names. And in this way, all the murderers, all the cow killers, all the human killers, all the thieves and the rogues and the rapists, everyone, this happened in Navadweep. They all became the followers of this dacoit Brahmin. And through his mercy, they all became great Vaishnavas, pure Vaishnavas. And in this way, there was this wonderful Sankirtan party of ex-dacoits. And they were just inducing everyone in the four directions to raise their arms and loudly chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare!
And it is said, anyone who hears submissively this story will become free of all sins and will achieve the causeless mercy of the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So in this way, when Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda appeared with their associates like Gadadhar Das, Aviram, Gopal, Thakur, they simply reached out to everyone. to give them Krishna prema. Srila Prabhupada told us that when the Lord personally appears directly with the eternal associates of the spiritual world, the miracles they can perform in their preaching is something wonderful. But by their mercy, we are allowed to also assist in this great mission, the same mission, of trying to live very, very pure lives, and that purification comes through associating with pure souls and regularly chanting Krishna's names. For Krishna is none different than his name. This is the simple gift that Lord Chaitanya gave to the world, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the way of life by which we can chant it in such a way to achieve the real goal of life. Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to realize that I am not this material body, to realize that I am not meant to enjoy the temporary forms of this world, but I am the eternal soul, and I am meant for the enjoyment of Krishna and the service of Krishna. And this realization naturally comes when we properly chant the holy names. And to give this gift of Krishna Nam and the proper spiritual lifestyle to others is the greatest compassion. It is the compassion the Lord himself comes to distribute to the world, and it is the compassion that his eternal associates, like Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Sri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. They have come with the same mission, with the same message. And we are so fortunate that by the mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga, we are allowed also to participate in this wonderful movement. So we are very thankful to all of you for taking sincerely the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. We are very thankful for all of you for trying according to your level best to understand this great teaching. And if everyone could follow the example of Janava and her family of making their homes a temple of the Lord, and according to our means, whatever it may be, whether it is big or small, try to utilize whatever we have to help others become Krishna conscious. And it is simple. Just bring them. Go to their homes, invite them to your homes, speak Harikatha, give little prasad, and have nice kirtans of the holy names. That is all that is required. If we would all just do this sincerely, just as Lord Nityananda Prabhu empowered his associates, Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara can empower us to transform people's hearts. We may not feel that we have any capacity. A devotee never thinks I am great. But if we simply adhere to this order to try to give people Krishna, then the Supreme Lord himself can empower us in wonderful ways to give people Krishna. Sometimes we have all seen, we have all experienced, when we're preaching, we're speaking things that we don't even know. We just try to repeat what the Guru says without changing. We're just trying to be a messenger and repeat the message. And realizations and words of the Gurus come out perfectly in line with Siddhanta that we don't even know. And we're listening. And we're thinking, oh, I'm being purified and learning. Why? Because when we become an instrument, Guru and the previous Acharyas actually speak through us. They are the ones that change people's hearts. And if we'll just sincerely try, how much wonderful, wonderful mercy can come into the world through our lives.